It's time to tee it up with On the Tee, talking the wide world of golf from the PGA to the Champions Tour, LPGA, college, high school, and the crazy world of the Hack Nation. And here's your head of the Hack Nation and your host, Mike Rickard.
Welcome to On the Tee, the newest edition of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We're streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com on this Masters weekend, April 9th, 2022. And of course, it's opening weekend down here at the Trop, and I'm perched on top of Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, on top of the third floor, actually. Looking straight at the Trop, we'll see them streaming in yesterday, 20,000 strong as they beat the Orioles 2-1 in an exciting start. Wander Franco got three hits, the $200 million baby. So things are great down here at Ferg's in the heart of Champa Bay. And we're here from 11 to 12. We'll be talking all Masters all day. Of course, each and every Saturday now, we'll bring you the PGA, the LPGA champions, high school, and the great game at the high school level in the state of Florida. We'll insert some humor, as we always like to, a little Caddyshack, a little tin cup, a little conversation about my escapades as a hack out there, toughing it out at Smuggler's Cove and some of those tough tracks in the area. And I've got some great guests today. I've got my unofficial producer, Gary Sermon. He has been bringing me courses since we launched this 5 weeks ago. And my greatest recruit, he's my Wander Franco. It's the big old Oscar Garner III, Michigan State Spartan. He's got his videoing right now. You'll see this on Hoovy.tv, our streaming channel. And we're very excited about that launch as well. And as I said, we're at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, our 19th hole studio clubhouse. And I'm looking forward to this conversation. What a couple of days, Gare. Pull up to the mic there. And, of course, Big O, I know you were watching last night. You and I were texting. It doesn't get any better than having Tiger Woods. First of all, the remarkable ability to overcome pain, persevere, shocked the world several weeks ago that he was actually going to play when he and Charlie showed up. And I thought, this is what I anticipated. I figured that he was going to create a lot of crowd appeal. The practice rounds were 30-some thousand strong. We'll be talking to a guy that was there. And helped the Masters and CBS, of course, and ESPN and everybody involved with ratings. Re-energize golf, because we got a lot of great young golfers, but they just don't have names yet. I mean, there's no one better than Scottie Scheffler on the planet right now. But you had Tiger Woods. Then I thought he'd play a couple practice rounds. The weather looked bad. I thought his back would probably tighten up. And he'd just say, I just can't play. Because you realize that you're in the field as a former winner, regardless. You have up until 5 minutes to say, I can't roll. But then his practice rounds, and then when I heard Freddie Couples, that conversation, I thought, what the hell? This is going to happen. Then I thought, he'll get out there and something's going to happen because of the rain had created a softer conditions. And I was basically negative Nelly. And I almost got moisty-eyed watching this cat, 46 years young, When he was in the top 10, actually, when he was in second place, and that was early, obviously, and there's a lot of guys to go out, but I took pictures of it in my office upstairs, and I was just overwhelmed, and I've never seen any perseverance. But yesterday was more impressive. When you bogey four out of the first five holes, first time in his career, you know, and he's never missed a cut in 22 years, when you have four bogeys, most guys are going to fall apart, and a lot of guys did. There's a lot of notables that aren't playing today that are world ranked. And here's Tiger, who sat out, you know, since 2020. But wasn't that impressive? I mean, you're not an old guy. I'm an old guy, but pulling for the old guys. We're going old guys first, dude.
Well, that includes me, I guess, with Mike.
No, but, you're not, but go ahead.
But yeah, it was incredible showing.
And he's Gary Sermon, by the way, as I said.
Yeah,
and he's the unofficial king of golf on this side of Florida.
More like king of producer, not king on the golf course.
Okay, all right.
As far as playing talent, but I think my playing days are probably over. I would probably start out with 4 out of the first 5 holes bogeying also. I probably would have kept it going.
That's not what your cronies tell me, so.
But with Tiger, being the Tiger, I tell you what, what a round of golf, what a bounce back. He could have said, okay, well, you know, it's my leg and, you know, back, but he persevered, and my gosh almighty, what a round he pulled out, even at a 74. So making the cut, my gosh, he is there to win it. He's not just there to make an appearance and for CBS and everybody else, but when he plays in a tournament, you have to believe that he's ready to win it, I think.
Did you see his interview, his post-round interview?
Yes, I did.
He's focused like the old days. He said, you know, Scotty's running away with it, and Scotty played down at Texas, and Jordan Spieth was very instrumental in getting him down there. He's a New Jersey native. But he's having an unbelievable year, 25 years old, and just talk about a cool cat. I mean, he looks like Freddie Couples. You know, he may not have that swagger, but he has that demeanor. And they ask him, you know, how'd your round go? He said, you know what? I prepared. So yes, if I don't win, I did all I could do. I prepared.
Oh, yeah, he prepared. And you know, when in the interview, he said his team, everything was all team. It wasn't just Tiger. It was his team. And so, you know, it's not just one person, you know, that got him back onto the golf course. It was his team got him prepared mentally, physically, more importantly. And he proved it yesterday and the day before that, hey, he's ready. He's ready to play.
Well, he's currently in 19th place. And I know what his goal today has got to be, because he kind of tipped his hat. He said, well, I'm 4 strokes off out of second place.
Yes.
Scotty's running away with it, and no one. There's only been 3 guys that had a large lead going into Friday. I mean, I'm sorry, going
Saturday.
Into Sun
yep,
Saturday, that have lost.
Yes, exactly.
So, and that's why Tiger used to love getting the lead, intimidating people, and you'd see him just holding on in a lot of, and you think, what's he doing? Well, he's intimidated these guys. He gave himself a 5-6 stroke cushion,
yes,
on a lot of these majors that he won.
Certainly did, and he was asked. In fact, Brandon Chambly this morning on the show, the pregame show, he said that he was asked, "How does Scheffler, talking about Scheffler, maintain a 5-shot, a big lead? You know, with much pressure on him." And Brandon Chambly said, "Tiger's comment was the best way to defend a lead is to extend the lead. Don't sit on it. Don't sit on it. Just don't defend it. Don't think about making pars. You got to extend it. You've got to go out and make birdies. So you can't sit on a lead of 5 shots. 5 shots and go away real quick at Augusta."
Here's the leaderboard if you hadn't seen it so far. Scotty Scheffler is 8 under. Charles Schwartzel, who already has a green jacket, is in second. Sungjae Im, who had the lead yesterday, at 3 under. Shane Lowry, I like that guy. He reminds me of a little pudgy John Daly, JD, and he's got a great personality. Hideki Matsuyama, of course, the reigning champ, he's 3 under. Then Harold Varner. I love Harold Varner. He's smiling constantly. He needs to get a significant win to get some respect. He's the Rodney Dangerfield right now, but when I see men of color having success like that, and Harold Varner has overcome a ton, that'd be a superb story. Kevin Na, he just always shows up. Kevin Na, you know.
Yes, he does.
And then Cameron Smith. I used to think that cocky little Aussie, I thought, I don't like him. You know what? After watching him at the Players and then seeing his lifestyle, he's got this beautiful girlfriend, he's driving, you know. He's a cool cat. He's replaced Ricky Fowler.
I think he has.
Yeah, Ricky's a no-show these days, and he's replaced him. And then Justin Thomas had the round of the day yesterday.
That's my boy. I like Justin Thomas. And, you know, before the tournament started, I had selected Scotty Scheffler, too.
So, well, boy, way to go out on a limb.
Before the tournament started, though.
Way to go out on a limb.
Hey, my wife, Kira, agree.
Okay, Mary, that's called chalk. Boy, you roll the dice. I'm not going gambling with you. All right, let's go to the
Monday morning golfer.
Let's go to the youngster. All right, you're 23?
23.
23 years young. No, you're an old soul. That's why I love having you around. Who's your favorite young guy? You know, I'm still stuck in the 90s and the 80s. Who's your guy?
My boy JSP out of Michigan State. Now he didn't have the.
Did he make the cut?
He make the cut. But
were you on his bag?
No, I wasn't. He needed me though. He needed
me.
So
he better call you.
I like the guy. I mean, how do I not like it? I bleed green and white. He bleeds green and white, and it was good to see him out there. You know, he's a business college guy. We graduated. Well, he's going to graduate with the same degree as me. So of course, you know, I'm rooting for him all the way. And of course, I'd like to see him come back and still play well in future majors.
Well, do you think he has that type of game?
He didn't really show it this weekend, but the Masters is a huge showing. You know, I can't really judge a guy off of that. But he came and he played hard and he didn't fold. So, you know, I'd like to see what he has coming up in the future.
Well, if you want to be on the content team, All-American team, get him on the show. And we'll make him our on the tee guy. We'll send him some swag and some Ferg swag. I'm sure he'll be really excited about that.
James, I'm coming for you, man. We're gonna get you on the show. All right.
All right, James. All right, there you go. You're coming to see us, champ. We'll take care of you. All the wings and beer you can consume. All right. So Jordan Spieth, that poor cat. I mean, I know. he's got one jacket, 2 seconds. And after that took place, it just seems like, well, it's the 6 inches between his ears.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it's sad because he's such a nice guy. Yep. And he and Scottie Scheffler are very close, obviously, both being Texas guys. I'm going down to Austin in about 4 weeks. I'm going to go check out that track where they played the WGC.
Oh, well, yeah.
The match play?
Yeah.
Oh, the Austin Country Club.
Austin Country Club, right on the water.
Yeah, I'm certainly not playing it, but I'm...
Beautiful golf course.
I'm going to go and get a hat so it looks like I did play it.
There you go.
But Jordan Spieth, 6 over. And I know you're a Florida native. You probably love Brooks Koepka.
Yes.
He's a Florida State grad, and you're a Gator.
Yeah, I'm a Gator fan. I went to... Florida National University.
You played golf down there. Very impressive. But I just think that Brooks Koepka is smug. I didn't mind seeing him not making the cut.
Yeah, either did I, tell you the truth. But you know what? Being a Florida boy and he's a Florida State guy, you know, I have respect for him. You know,
I'm that way with Iowa State.
Yeah, exactly.
I like Iowa State. But I'll pull for Iowa State.
But, you know, you didn't mention Victor Hovland. You know, Victor Hovland, I think he made the cut, didn't he?
He barely made the cut.
But you're talking about Harold Varner and all, the third. Victor Hovland, I call him the smiling assassin.
Really?
Because you can't tell if when he makes a bogey or makes a birdie, he's still smiling.
No, he's got the same face.
Same,
the whole time.
Same game face all the way.
Boy, you know? He's from Europe, man. what do you expect?
Yeah, that's true.
You don't know what's coming at you. You kidding me?
That's true.
This is another storyline on the side, because if we looked at the headlines last year, Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau, the rivalry.
Yes.
Two overpaid buffoons that, you know, on social media are going at each other. Neither one made the cut.
Neither one. Well, Bryson's got to get help.
I'm going to add some applause to that.
He does.
Oh, yeah. Bryson DeChambeau, I tell you, 12 over. And if he was injured, I understand, but he's just a strange individual.
Yeah. It's hard to put a finger on him. I mean, he's been one of those guys who
easy to give him the finger. A lot of people have.
He claims to be misunderstood, but I mean, man, there's nothing to misunderstand about golf. You got to go out there and just play. And if he's injured, you know, you got to take care of yourself so you can play at a high level.
Yeah. I do think he may have maybe he's taken care of himself maybe to an extreme. Don't worry, he's hurt himself.
Really?
You know, and all.
Like exercise, you mean?
Or? Yeah, exercise. Because did he hurt his knee or his back?
From
maybe it could have been from exercise, maybe overdoing a little bit. But, you know, you have to give the guy credit. He's in great shape. But sometimes you go to an extreme and it kind of backfires on you.
Well, and that's, you know, we could talk about that for an entire show and get some orthopedic surgeons in here to talk about
that's
athletes.
A great idea.
Right.
Us three experts
surrounding.
Yeah. Well, last week I did have a bio-orthopedic surgeon on, some of the workouts these guys are putting so much stress on their bodies. Because I developed a nice relationship with Fuzzy Zeller. I just saw John Daly several weeks ago. Yeah. I mean, not exactly svelte guys, you know.
No, not at all.
It's not impacting their swing and their touch.
Like you said, the 6 inches between the ears.
It might impact their ability to get around the track.
Yeah.
And they need the big O's to assist them.
Yeah.
But so who do you like coming out of this without going who's got a five-stroke lead.
The far limb of Scottie Scheffler. I like Kevin Na. I really do. I think he's got, when we talk about the 6 inches between the ears, I think he's got one of the best ones, and he's got a very consistent game.
I've watched so much footage, you know, in my little man cave beach bungalow. I've got 270-inchers. They're bigger than the bed, and I'm watching everything, and I've never seen anybody after they made a putt sprint after it. Tiger one time. Did you see Kevin Na yesterday?
Don't you love it? He hits it and just follows it in. Just starts stepping.
Does he think it's going to bounce out and they're going to take it away from him?
You know what he thinks? It's mini golf, so if he doesn't get in there before, they're going to take the ball. So he's
I'm the pro at that. I hit that clown. The clown kicks into the gator, and then I've got that ball out of that hole within seconds. At 65, I'll challenge anyone in the ball retrieval on a par 3 mini course.
Keep it away from the windmill.
Exactly.
That's where Kevin Na's been training this entire time.
You know? Yeah. I haven't seen him in Smuggler's Cove where I've been shooting those sizzling 66s lately. I'll tell you what, the hotter it gets, the tougher it is to read that turf. That green AstroTurf is tough to read.
Oh, it is.
Oh, yeah.
And speaking of that, though, Tiger Woods also said in his interview this morning about he's seeing the breaks now. He hasn't played in, you know, competitively in 508 days or something like
that. Okay, you've golfed your whole life in Florida. I didn't understand that statement.
Yeah.
He says, I live in Florida, and now I'm finally getting a chance to read the greens. What's that?
Well, read the greens, you get a lot of breaks, of course. In Florida, it's flat. Right. You know, you don't have the hills and all that. You do even a
It wasn't the type of grass?
No, not type of grass at all. Now, the type of grass up there, they're pickers, you know, and he mentioned about picking, too. If you can pick the ball off, you're going to have a better chance of playing well instead of taking a big divot, there, you know, because the grass is so cut fine in the fairways, and even if it's not much rough at all at Augusta. But when Tiger said about the break, though, he meant, okay, that's a 10-foot break compared to like a 3-foot break you have in Florida. You know, at Augusta, you have 8-foot. Break putts, and you've got to read that, and he's getting comfortable in doing that. And a lot of people that have success at Augusta, he said, that can read that and pick it up quickly. Well, and do well.
My question to that is, what has he been doing this whole time?
Oh, rehab and getting back.
Yeah,
getting
okay. Back,
ice baths. Did you see that?
Ice baths. No.
I've been freezing myself, and he said the ice bath has been the recipe for success to get to the point where he could participate this week, and I guess they're painful as hell.
Yeah.
Have you ever taken one?
I take cold showers.
You ever taken an ice bath?
I used to play. Used to do ice baths after baseball.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I jumped in Lake Okoboji, froze my old ass off up in Northwest Iowa. It had a couple coldies though. I had some antifreeze in me.
Yeah, what do you call those guys that go up up north and they jump in there? And
nuts.
Nuts. That's what they leave behind when it shrivels up in there. So
that's our excuse. Huh?
Yeah, you got that right, big ol'. You're listening to On the Tee, and one hack, a couple of. You are a scratch golfer, so.
Used to be. Yeah,
I'm a hack.
I'm a little higher.
Scratch. Where did your game ever evolve to? Well, you're 23. You better keep evolving.
Right now, I'm a stroke a hole, but at the best, I was probably 12.
That's good. Yeah. 12's good. 12's good.
What was your best run at Oakland Hills when you were a caddy?
No. Oakland Hills is a mile. I never conquered that beast. No, sir.
That's
no.
An incredible golf course. Incredible.
So I think for a 9, I shot 50 one time, and that was about it.
Yeah.
I'd take a 50. Oh, my God.
Score, my favorite course, my best score, was 68, 4-under at Pasadena.
Oh, wow.
Club over here.
Pasadena,
when I was in college.
Yeah. Well, Barry Smith. You know Barry, right?
Sure.
Yeah, Barry lives on that track.
Yep, beautiful golf course. Fun course. You know,
a challenge, too.
Ago. Oh, yeah. It was one of those days where you lined up a putt, and you hit it where you didn't want to hit it, and it went in.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, what? I didn't walk any in like Kevin Na does.
you were like the minister on Caddyshack during the rainstorm.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, just keep
best
playing.
Best round ever.
Just keep playing. It's my best round.
What lightning?
Yeah.
Until 18.
Oh, my God. Hey, in the past, what's her name? Lacey Underall? Remember the gal? And that's the young blonde. In Caddyshack.
Oh, right.
The judge's niece. Well, Lacey Underall actually she goes around, and this is up until 5 years ago, and she does events at country clubs, and you get to meet her and conversation. So I had her on the air.
That's cool.
And she hated that role.
Really?
Yeah, and she knew nothing about golf. She was an aspiring actress that, you know, thought that that role was beneath her. But now she's going out, and you know, she at 50 she took a Playboy pictorial and was, in my old man opinion, very hot.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Lace the underall. So we'll get some Caddyshack conversation.
Caddyshack was the best.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. So you're going Kevin Na.
Yeah, I'm going Justin Thomas.
Thomas.
I like Justin Thomas.
Who are you going with?
He's a gamer.
JT's pretty good.
Yeah.
A good friend, by the way, Pat Cooper and his lovely bride, Anita. We've known each other for 50 years, is in the house. And he was a hack. And then his wife really got the golf bug. And now you're probably pretty decent, Coop.
Not bad.
See that?
That's my
not bad
over
out,
there.
Not bad, out of, not, bad out of, not bad out of his mouth means he's gotten pretty decent. He's committed to the game. Goes from a linebacker that can't run to now he's playing golf.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
And I haven't evolved past a putt-putt course, but oh well.
We're having fun.
Okay, so we got a JT, Kevin Na, and...
Oh, JT for me.
Two
Kevin
JTs.
Off, yep. Kevin off, big O.
Let me look at this. All right.
Yep, now it's your turn.
You know what? I'm not going for the win because I don't think anybody's touching Scottie Scheffler.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I think you're right. I think he's
just too cool a cucumber.
And he's got to fall apart. Like that's
not happening.
I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
He's so
look at he's already got three wins this year.
Yeah.
And they weren't chump change tournaments.
He's locked in.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's locked and loaded.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, so I'm going to go. I'm going Cameron Smith. Even though I didn't
like Shane Lowry, I thought maybe you'd take Shane.
Nah. Cameron Smith.
That's not your favorite guy out?
He's not my guy, but I like
like a svelte figure, I thought. Shane Lowry.
Can I just say about Scotty?
If he had a stogie in his mouth.
Like Jimenez on the senior tour.
I love Miguel Angel Jimenez. Yeah. Ladies man. Doesn't look worth a damn.
Most interesting man. That's what I call
that's him. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
If I got to pick a foursome to go out with from the Champions Tour, I'm
going
to go Fuzzy Zeller, who I've spent time with, JD, and Miguel Angel Jimenez.
That's
my party pals.
I would go with you. I'd be caddy. I would caddy for you, Gil.
Yeah, now that
I drive the cart. We stay in it.
Well, I didn't say I was going to hit any balls.
We'll open the beers for you guys.
I play a lot of four-person best shots I get invited to and never pull a driver out of the bag. Why would I?
Exactly.
I load my team up. I usually get a lady like Anita here because they're way up on the front tees. I make sure that they got good game. And then we play skins, and I kick butt. And I never touch anything but a putter.
Clean up putter.
Exactly. And that's the recipe for success when you're playing four-person best shot, in my opinion.
In my tournaments that we do, Big O, we do a scramble tournament, which is what that is, a scramble.
Right.
And every year for charity, for the Children's Dream Fund, which is coming up. I'll put a plug in it now.
Absolutely. I want you to do that.
May 7th, at East Bay Country Club in Largo. And we sold out within a week.
Oh, that's beautiful.
36 foursomes. It's going to be our 26th child that we've had a dream come true for.
That's beautiful.
And they're all coming from All Children's Hospital.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I think we would probably do the show up there, and we'll take the video.
That'd be a lot of fun.
And we'll have
the
new video equipment, too.
We got lunch and dinner for you guys.
I love hearing stories like this because the reason why I'm such a youngster into golf is because golf has literally changed my life for reasons people like you who have. Are you familiar with the Western Golf Association?
Oh, sure.
So I'm an Evan Scholar out of there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, great.
Yep, so
great.
See, I keep smart kids around me.
The care that the golf community puts into the youth, it's unmatched.
Exactly.
And if you can really tap into this and really care about this game, this game pays you back 100%.
Exactly. That's what I want to do. You know, glad you mentioned that, Big O, because there is a gentleman, the UC Barrett. It used to be a junior golf tournament called UC Barrett here. And a lot of young kids, and I was like 8 or 9 years, maybe 10 years old when I first started playing in it, and there was no entry. 3 days of golf.
I lived on Pollock Hill when I was 10. We didn't know what a golf club was.
by the Pollock Hill. But besides that, we've got he would pay for golf for all juniors. Mm-hmm. And whether you knew golf or not, or played golf very much, he introduced a lot of little kids to golf. And I swear, that's how I got to play. My sister got to play there. Then, of course, our dad took it from there and taught us really how to play the game.
It's the exposure,
and,
man.
You open, exposure.
Exactly. Yeah, open it up to people.
And all the golf courses, the three private courses, opened their golf courses up to a bunch of juniors. And we had like 72 golfers out there playing golf.
That's beautiful.
Down there. I was 3 days in a row. It was great. I mean, I love that. I love your story. That's
appreciate
great.
It.
That's great.
Hey, for our Masters weekend audience, I want you to tell your story, Big O. Tell your story about Jimmy Butler, in case you get censored before I get John Rieger on. Jimmy
or
Butler.
It's a Jimmy.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler and, of course, Mark Wahlberg at Oakland Hills. Okay, then we're going to get John Rieger on here.
This is a random, I think it was a Wednesday. These two guys pull up. It was Mark Wahlberg pulls up first. Jimmy Butler pulls up second. They send us out to get the bags. And they just send us out to get the bags. They don't tell us who it is. Go out, lot two, whatever. We get the bags. It's Mark Wahlberg. All right, sure, regular day at Oakland Hills.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler, too. Then we figured out 10 minutes later, wait, these guys are teeing off together.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, these guys are really good friends. Based on just their friendship is based on golf.
Yeah.
They played all over the Midwest. I don't know where else. Yeah. This is just a regular Wednesday. They pulled up after the women's went off. It was so we get on the first tee. Mark has played our course like dozens of times.
Has he?
He comes up there, ropes it, talking all type of smack. Jimmy could not care less. He's clowning. He's like, what club am I taking off the tee? He's shooting it up with the caddies and whatnot. He doesn't really care, but Mark is there on a mission. But that's one of the many stories of...
Wow.
I tried to throw this story in here last weekend. Justin Verlander lost his phone for like half an hour at the first tee.
Uh-huh.
We're looking. Finally found it. Gives all the caddies who helped out $50.
Yeah.
Like one kid found the phone, but it's like eight of us. He gave us all $50. Like that's Oakland Hills.
Yeah, that's great. That's man, what a great story.
I'm going to bring John Rieger into the conversation now. He's got more stories than all of us put together. And you name it, in the great state of Florida, he has done it from a golf perspective. And I've missed his input the last few weeks. And I had to stumble, fumble, and bumble by myself. John, how are you, my man?
Hey, I'm doing good. I do have a lot of stories. I'm not sure how many of them are really true or not, but, we...
I didn't say you had to have true stories to be on the tee. Just stories, brother. Just tell us some stories. These people don't know any better.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be on your show, and I love listening in. And obviously today, the big topic is the Masters. And I don't know if you've been following it like I have, but I've got that Masters app on my phone and have watched everything all day long. So it's been a real treat, a real joy to be a golfer and watch the Masters this time of year.
Well, I hate to admit it. I think I lost two wives over a Masters weekend, and a girlfriend's on the edge now because I have not moved from watching that everything that's been on the air. I got the apps. I got the laptop up. I'm a horrible golfer, but I'm addicted to the Masters week.
Yeah, what I did on Monday is I went ahead and made some picks, and versus, going into the weekend trying to figure it. So hot and cold in a lot of these picks, but, I have my first category of picks was current young hot players. And I picked Cam Smith, Justin Thomas, and Colin Morikawa. So they're all hanging in there pretty good. So I felt pretty good about those. Well, I went to the past champions picks. I had Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, Bubba Watson, and Zach Johnson, but a couple of those guys missed the cut. But Dustin's up there pretty good. And then I have the next one was ready for their next major was Brooks Koepka and John Rahm. These are easy picks to make because obviously they're all playing very well. And then I had the wild card pick, and I had Scottie Scheffler. And then I had Tommy Fleetwood, Victor Hovland, Billy Horschel, Sergio. So at least I feel good about the wild card. And then I had the miracle feel good. And I had Roy McIlroy and Kevin Na. And then I have an out of nowhere again picks, which was Matthew Wolf and Will Zalatoris. Finally, I had my Cinderella story pick, which was Harold Varner III and Xander Shuffle. Those are the picks. So some good, some not. If I went to the local sports bet there, I'd probably lose a lot of money on all these picks. But you never know. Scottie Scheffler, you know, he is the hottest player in the world. He's the number one player in the world. He's won three times in the last five tournaments, and there's no reason why he can't do it this week.
Well, your picks are all over the place. It's kind of like my March Madness picks. I started out of the blocks with Kentucky winning it all, and Iowa getting to the Final Four, so I was absolutely done. But with Scottie Scheffler in the mix, what do you think of his game? I mean, who does he remind you of? I mean, he's just a cool hand, Luke.
Well, you know, he's unique. You know, it's hard to say who he reminds you of. The fact that, you know, he's got that little shuffle in his swing, so you know, it kind of reminds me of Greg Norman. You know, those very similar swings, very upright, and has that little, you know, right foot shuffle. But you're seeing in the modern swing something a little different now. You're seeing in the modern swing, you're seeing they literally come off their feet. You know, it used to be you wanted to keep those feet planted, and now, I mean, they're like, you know, a lot of these players, their left foot's off the ground when they hit it because they're generating so much torque with their lower body, and they have so much speed. They're swinging so far under when versus swinging more horizontal, which means that they hit the ball very high, but they also hit far. So these are great athletes. So Scotty, you know, he's going to be somebody that's going to be around a long time, I think.
Well, we're talking to John Rieger right here on the Tee from the Ferg's Sports Bar and Grill, 19th Hole Clubhouse Studios. Today we're perched out back looking at Tropicana Field. It's a 110 first pitch, Rays and Orioles. And, you know, I love the start of baseball, John, but I can't even get that excited about it because of everything that's happened in the Masters. What did you think, you know, of Tiger's performance? I know what everybody thinks about Thursday, but yesterday I thought was even more impressive after bogeying four out of the first five holes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very difficult playing conditions with the wind, and the golf course is drying out. They've made some modifications to the golf course, even number 15 now. It used to be a go for two. You can't really go for two. Very few people did it yesterday. So I think you look at Woods' performance, it's remarkable. I mean, you know, what hasn't been said about that? You know, you're gone from competition for 500 days, and you almost lost your leg. And you know, he wouldn't show up unless he thought he could play. But I did notice a lot about his swing is a lot different now. It's he's got more of a upper core swing, we call it, where, you know, he's using more arms and hands and less lower body. And it's not as violent of a swing that he had. So he's actually, it's almost like a swing that a Champions Tour player would have as they get a little older and less flexible. But for him, he's using his hands a lot more in the golf swing. So, but I think that might, even with all his injuries, that might help him, believe it or not, in longevity. You know, we're not saying that Tiger's back to, you know, for another 10 years on the PGA Tour, but the way he's swinging at it, it's a lot easier on his body, and he has to rely more on hands. And with his hands, I'd take that over anybody's hands any day. I mean, it's pretty remarkable. It's hard to, you know, to put it in words, but he had said in his interview after the first round he was going to go and freeze himself to death, sit in those cold baths, and get a lot of therapy there to, you know, get ready for the next day. So now today's moving day, obviously. And that's where experience really counts in the Masters. This is where some of your past champions and can move up on the leaderboard. He certainly could be one of them, but I'm not looking for anybody to go super low today. I think that if you shoot 300 or 400 par today, that would be the best round of the day, I think.
John, I'm joined by Gary Sermon and a young man I called Big O. They're going to throw a couple questions at you as well. And, you know, from Tiger's perspective, I think that one of the things that are on his goals is Lefty got a major at 50. And I certainly believe that he will manage his events, his rest in between events, with that in mind over the next 4 years. You think that's possibly one of his goals that he's put up there for himself?
Oh, without a doubt. You know, I think that, you know, his future, what does he have left to prove other than, you know, winning another major? So I think he definitely will see that. Again, you know, and again, it's just a matter of the host golf course, where it's going to be at. I know we're going to go to Scotland this year, and it's going to be at I think it's at the Old Course, the Open Championship, and that'd be a really good run for him to contend in.
Yeah, it's St. Andrews. That's going to be a great venue for him. But, John, now this is Gary. You think that Scotty Scheffler's swing kind of resembles a Tom Weisskopf? Kind of upright like that, tall, upright, lanky, consistent?
Well, yeah, you know, they're probably a very similar build. You know, of course, Tom Weisskopf, he didn't shuffle around in his swing very much. I mean, he was very stable with the lower core, but at the same time, that's the modern swing now. You know,
it is upright,
off your toes. You know, if you ever look at Bubba Watson's golf swing in slow motion, I mean, he's almost off both feet at impact. Okay, which kind of is against the old tried and true keep your feet stable on the ground. They're actually generating more speed and power by using that lower core and swinging under and really releasing all the energy, the kinetic energy in their body through their arms all the way down from. It's like I guess a best way to describe it, if you're trying to show a student, you know, what that means, it's just like jumping off the ground. I mean, literally, they're using the ground as leverage, and they're transmitting all that energy through their body, all the way up through their body to their arms and hands, and that's why they're, you know. So his golf swing is it could be similar to Tom Weisskopf in a lot of ways, but yeah. I think it's just I think it's, to me, it looked more like Greg Norman.
Greg Norman, yeah. You see, the golfers there, the ones that are pickers. You know, I heard the interview this morning. A lot of golfers there are pickers instead of just a lot of divots because of Augusta and the tight lies.
There's Sandy Lyle. You know, he was back this year to play as a past champion. I'm not sure how many more he'll do.
He said this would be his last.
Yeah, and he was known for hitting one irons off the ground and not making a blemish on the turf at all.
Yeah,
so, you know, some people, you would call him more of a picker than a Bubba Watson, who's more of a, you know, slash at it and take the biggest divot possible. So they all have different styles, as long as it's repeatable and stands up under pressure.
You're listening to On the Tee on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. I want to do a shout out to our affiliates, of course. We've got WTAN 106.1 FM, AM 1340. That's Tampa, Clearwater, St. Pete. WZHR FM 104.3 FM and WDCF AM 1350. And Zephyr Hills, WZHR 102.3 FM, AM 1400. On a lighter note, John, you brought up Bubba Watson. And I can't remember, I've read everything out there, but you'll like this, fellas. Bubba Watson, and I can't remember who it was that made this statement, had the worst dinner in the history of the champions' dinners, by far. They said he had the worst dinner by far. I thought that was kind of comical, the good old boy Bubba Watson. And they said it was like... He's like going to a buffet of everything that he had. Did you see that, Gary?
I heard. I can't think of who said that, but you're exactly right. Yeah, that was one of the worst dinners for some reason. I can't remember what was served, but I'm sure it was a southern dish.
and this week, John, they said that Hideki Matsuyama's was the most impressive, and they were also incredibly impressed that he did his 3-minute speech in English, and Gary Player replied to him in Japanese. 3-minute speech as well. Pretty cool.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, and I guess the only blemish on that dinner this year was when they took the group picture. Someone left their wine glass on the table, half empty. So I guess they didn't clear the table enough to get that out of the way.
Is that a no-no? They wouldn't want to be at some of the events that I've been involved in. There'd be a lot of cocktail glasses and glasses of wine in the group picture.
Yeah, those glasses are in the perimeter.
So, let's tell the audience. It's been a few weeks. Why don't you go back and give the audience your career in the great game of golf, because it's amazing. You've touched every facet of the world of golf in the state of Florida and across America, and you've done what I'm doing a heck of a lot better with a nationwide radio show as well.
Well, you know, we're all legends in our own minds, so that's...
I'm certainly a legend in my own mind.
Now, it's one of those career I've had in golf is, I would say it's interesting because I've done so many different things, but that's what the golf business is all about. When I first came into the golf business in the late 70s, You only really, if you wanted to, you know, be a PGA golf professional, you want to either play on the tour, and if you didn't, you'd work at a club. You'd be the head pro there or teaching pro and give golf lessons and run the tournaments and sell the merchandise. Very traditional ways to do it. And I got involved with the PGA of America in the governance side of it as an officer, not from a national standpoint, but from a section standpoint. Our North Florida section, we have 41 counties. We have about 750 facilities, about 1,200 golf professionals, and there's probably about 70 of them that are LPGA or PGA Tour pros in that, living in this section. So got involved with that, and one of the things we did with the PGA is the golf business was booming. I mean, they're opening a golf course. You go start going into the 80s and 90s, they're opening a golf course every day, literally. It's 300-400 new golf courses a year. It was booming. So what happened was you needed more golf people, not just as golf professionals, but you need them as general managers. And there's a lot of opportunities for PGA members to take that next step and, you know, make more money and do well and have more job security by being the general manager. So, you know, the PGA accommodated and created a classification for that. Then it just ballooned into all kinds of stuff you can do as a PGA golf professional and not necessarily have to be working at a club. So, you know, my career, I was a member of the golf media, so that's a classification in the PGA of America. We had our syndicated radio show and writing articles and things like that. And then, you know, I've owned a golf course, you know, with a group of others and sold it, and have built 6 golf courses, you know, as the project manager, you know, hire the architect and work with the developer and market it and take it out of the ground and open it up, and been able to work in the .com. When the .com boom was going, it was funny. I worked for a couple software companies that were trying to write software for golf courses. This was back in the 90s. And we'd go to a meeting with a prospective client, and the salespeople would say, yeah, we can do that. And I'd have to take a break in the middle of the meeting because I said, hey, listen, that hasn't been invented yet. You know, that's, I know you saw it on Star Trek, but we don't have that yet. And so there's all kinds of different things I've been able to do, but I've been able to, you know, work as a tournament announcer on the Champions Tour, and been able to be a coach and coach college teams and high school teams, which is that's probably the greatest joy I had, plus working with junior golfers with the PGA Junior League and drive, chip, and putt. So I guess the best way to describe it is that, you know, I've had just about every job you can have in the golf industry, from assistant pro to head pro, director of golf, general manager, regional vice president of a management company, own my golf courses, build golf courses, be consulting to them, trying to solve them, and running golf tournaments. That's how I met you, Mike. You know, we met you at the NFL Alumni Tournament in Tampa, which we'll do again next year. So that, in a nutshell, is what it is. So it's just a reflection of the times where the people in golf now have all these different ways to come about it. Now they even have it where, you know, when I came up in the business, you had to work as an assistant pro under a PGA golf professional, and it took you 3 to 5 years to do it. Yeah, now you can actually go to college and get a degree, you know, in business, and also under the PGA of America, the PGM program. I've had several of my junior golfers go down to the Florida Gulf Coast University and graduate, and now they're active golf professionals, and they're making twice as much money I ever made at their age. So, you know, hats off to them.
A lot of money to be made in golf, that's for sure. Yeah, in fact, my degree is hospitality management, and that was the club management down at FIU where I played golf for them. In fact, John, and I tell you what, it wasn't as popular back then when I went there, but now it is, and a lot of colleges are adding that program, you know, and golf course management, in fact, programs, degrees, which is fantastic, I think, for new country clubs and hiring people, you know, fresh graduates, you know, with that degree.
Well, yeah, and that's, I think those hospitality programs are wonderful because there's such an integration when you own and operate clubs and manage clubs. And when I say clubs, even golf courses, you know, it takes a lot of different disciplines. And hospitality is, you know, is the, if not the golf course itself, obviously the condition of the course and the management of it, but the how you treat people, how they're, you know, what the food and beverage operations like, and how the customer service is, and all the different things that could be the most important thing that you you can do to be successful financially in any business, but especially the golf business, is when people feel really good and you give them above and beyond customer service. It doesn't have to be the Taj Mahal, but it just has to be where, you know, the employees are warm and friendly, and there's some science put into it too. So you're making sure that the business makes money and yet the customers are happy. So yeah, those are great degrees, and you know, the world's, you know, that's the sky's the limit with a degree like that in the golf industry.
Exactly. And that's why I got into it, the customer service end of it. You know, I just like the working with people, and you know, when they come to the golf course, they're there to have a good time, and you're there to show it to them, you know, and give it to them.
And the new blood with us, Big O here, Oscar Garner III, he was at Oakland Hills as a caddy when he was going to Michigan State and learned quite a bit up there as well, John.
Oh, what a beautiful place that golf course is. Wow. And didn't the clubhouse just burn down?
Yeah. I'll actually tell that story real quick about the Oakland Hills.
I was reading an article about, I guess they went in and they saved a lot of memorabilia, the firemen there. So, to save some of that old memorabilia in that clubhouse, which is critical. So I hope those firemen get some free golf for the next couple of years.
Yeah, that clubhouse, I actually have pictures from that burning down. That was the day that happened. It was very heartbreaking. For all the caddies and all the members there, that was like home. And to see that happen, I actually tell what actually happened. They were using a blowtorch to mount something to a wall on the outside. The blowtorch fire creeped inside the walls and made its way to the basement and started a basement fire that spread up. So it wasn't until the bakery people that were there on the top floor started smelling smoke. It's like it had been burning for a while. And at that point, now nobody was hurt, thank God. But only thing that's there is a bunch of walls. The inside is fully caved in. And that building was built, you know, over time from the 1900s. So as that came back, it was all wood. You know, it was burned down, different pockets here and there. Stuff hadn't been replaced. But the bright side is Oakland Hills is not going to go without a season. So the caddies are going to be there. They're going to play golf. And we're going to get a new clubhouse in the next couple of years. And that's going to be fun.
Did you ever get a chance to play Oakland Hills, John?
No, I have not. I have not played on that golf course, but I've been there. And just a beautiful place. And, you know, that part of Michigan's nice, too. I had a daughter that lived up there for a brief amount of time. And so we would go up and visit with her. And, you know, and great golf in Michigan, I can tell you that.
Well, you got to get back up here. We'll get it back up there. We just renovated the South Course, put a lot of money in it. So the last 2 years, we've been kind of out of commission with the South Course, but it's been redone. We just got approved for some U.S. Open, so we'd like to see you come up there and play some golf.
Michigan's beautiful to play golf. Beautiful golf courses up there, especially in summertime.
John, as you take a look at today, 1 o'clock tee time for Tiger, and he's got Kevin Kistner as his playing partner. Did Kistner go to Florida State?
That's a really good question. So who can Google this faster? See what happens.
I think he went to Florida State, but I want to go back to Florida State. We were talking last year at this time. You know, a lot of the conversation was Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka and this childish, activity that was going on. And kind of tough day for those guys yesterday. Neither one of them made the cut. And that's their news in 2022 relative to their battle in 2021.
Well, I think Bryson has pushed his body too hard. I think that yeah, as a young man, his body's breaking down when trying to swing it that hard with that much velocity all the time. And you can see it. And I think that, you know, he might need to gear back a little bit so he can have some longevity out there. You know, when he made the comment that it was a par 67, you know, I kind of laughed at that because that was a great comment, really. But at the same time, you got to go, it's like what Coach Steve Spurrier would say, it ain't bragging if you can do it. But obviously Bryson's not doing it out there and getting the job done. But also I know he's had some injuries. So, hey, I just, for the miracle of the Google, Kevin Kistner went to the University of Georgia.
Well, I'll give it a tie. The tie between you and Gary.
Yeah. Well,
Gary, you gave that to me.
There's another interesting fact about that.
Is it a factoid on Kevin Kistner?
He's from Aiken, South Carolina, which is just across the river from Augusta.
Well, maybe that's where Tiger stayed last night, you think? I'm highly doubtful. I don't think he has to worry about accommodations. Hey, do you know anything about these ice baths? I mean, I don't know. It's the new miracle, but he said that's what's gotten him this far in his recovery. But I've heard that they're damn painful.
Well, I mean, actually, this is not something new. It's been used for athletes, you know, for, you know, decades and decades and decades. I mean, there are golfers that have taken ice baths, you know, as they get a little bit older. You know, Ben Hogan did it quite a bit because when he had to come back from the
car accident, injury
from the accident, he took a lot of ice baths. So, you know, I'm not sure the science of it. I'm sure there's a doctor out there listening in there screaming at his radio right now to tell us to shut up and not talk about medicine. But I do know they're pretty common. Now I see these, and I haven't tried it myself, but these cryo chambers, you know, where you get in this, looks like a tank or something, and up to your neck, and it's all sealed up, and they freeze you, you know, for a period of time. It's probably very similar to the ice bath.
Are you serious?
Oh yeah, no, I'm dead serious.
I mean, I know that they froze Ted Williams' head. I didn't know they'd freeze you while you're still alive. What the hell?
Well, you're still alive coming out of it. There's an ex-NFL player named Drayton Florence, and he's got I think it's called Blue 32 or something up in Jacksonville, and he's got like a treatment center, and you know he's got several of these devices, and people go sit in them for periods of time. So must be something to it.
Oh my,
must work.
Well, John, I appreciate you taking time to join us on this Masters weekend. I know you've warned everybody in your world what you'll be doing today and tomorrow, and that's pretty much my MO. I've got some friends in town. We're going to watch it down here at Ferg's. Go to a little jazz tonight, and then tomorrow it is 24, about three screens watching the Masters, and hopefully the Tiger's in the hunt for top 10. Let's just shoot for top 10, be realistic.
I got a golf professional friend of mine that he always posts on his Facebook every Friday night's date night. So it was date night this past Friday night, and there's a picture on the social media and with him with the Masters app on his phone sitting at the table. And the primary comment that people made just says, dude, you should have gone to a sports bar for date night. So you're in a perfect place at Ferg's there to watch the Masters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Whatever. My girlfriend will be here. My friends are in town. Whatever they want off the menu, but we're staying at Ferg's. That's the criteria today. Well, I look forward to getting you down to Ferg's sometime soon, John. And I'll talk to you this week, and we'll work on some opportunities down the road. So we can continue this brand, and you bring your wisdom to the airwaves of On the Tee.
Yeah, it's nice to have some company on the air, you guys. So it's great talking to you and about Oakland Hills and all that. So keep up the good work, and we'll talk to you next Saturday. Yeah,
thanks, John. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. Take care.
Take care.
Yeah, I tell you what, you look at his, we got a couple minutes. You look at his resume, and that dude has done it in the world of golf.
For sure.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
Pages long.
And if you go to Hoovy.tv, folks, he's giving away to the first person that responds, by the way, first person that responds a lesson, basically a Zoom lesson, with value is $250. And I'm telling you, he's worked with some greats in the area. So take advantage of that. One of you guys,
right?
Yeah, one of you guys can cheat.
I'll be the first to sign up.
Yeah, exactly.
Right behind Big O.
All right, Garrett, where are you going to take the beautiful Miss Mary today besides home in front of the... Is she a golf fan?
She's a golf fan.
You're married properly, brother. You're married properly. Big O, I know you're going to be hanging with me for a while. And then you'll be watching the Masters.
Oh, yeah, of course. Watch the Masters at home all day tomorrow. And maybe go to the Rays game a little bit for today for five innings and then go and watch the Masters.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right.
Thank you
the
very much.
The Rays will be here all year. We can watch them.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. From the Ferg Sports Bar Clubhouse, I'm Mike Rickard. For John Rieger, the Big O, Gary Sherman, Joe Bedreau, and Big Ed on the controls. Thanks for listening to the On the Tee Show as we look forward to bringing the great game of golf to you each and every day.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.